So we are currently living in this really strange reality where artificial intelligence can instantly write a complex full-stack web application from scratch.
Right, in seconds.
Yeah, in seconds. But it fundamentally fails to understand that, you know, if you drop an apple, it falls down.
It's a profound contradiction.
It really is. And welcome to today's deep dive. We're unpacking a curated stack of updates from the March 30, 2026 edition of Atomic News.
And our mission for this deep dive is to really explore what happens when the bleeding edge of AI development violently clashes with the foundational bedrock of systems engineering.
Because there's a serious tension there.
Exactly. I mean, at the exact same time we are deploying models capable of reasoning through advanced cryptography, our modern web frameworks still have a tremendous amount to learn from a space probe that was launched in 1977.
Which is wild to think about.
It is. We are constantly negotiating this tension between raw computational power, user privacy, and architectural reliability.
Right. So let's start right at the front line of that tension, which is the browser interface.
The primary bottleneck right now.
Yeah, the bottleneck of human-AI interaction and the methods used to evaluate who or what is on the other end of that connection have become incredibly invasive.
They really have.
There's this new report published by Bucciotti detailing a specific interaction between ChatGPT and Cloudflare's bot protection.
Yes, the React state leak.
Exactly. According to the report, ChatGPT actually pauses its typing output until Cloudflare inspects the user's React application state.
And to understand the gravity of that, we have to look at the mechanism of how a React application functions.
Right, because it's not just checking an IP address.
No, not at all. When you are interacting with a complex web app, your browser maintains a highly localized state.
A live memory structure.
Right. It holds your active data, your unsubmitted form inputs, your session variables, basically the immediate context of what you are doing.
Okay, let's unpack this because the privacy implications here are just massive.
They are completely unprecedented.
It's like trying to get into an exclusive club, but the bouncer at the door doesn't just check your ID.
They want to see everything.
Right. That bouncer is walking into your house, opening your refrigerator, and checking if you have the ingredients to make a sandwich to prove you're human.
That's a very accurate way to put it.
Before letting you in to see the genius bartender, the AI, who, by the way, doesn't even understand how gravity works.
What's fascinating here is the sheer scale of the trust asymmetry.
The asymmetry is huge.
On one side, you are forced to surrender that deeply localized private application state data under the guise of bot protection.
Just to prove you aren't a script.
Exactly. But on the other side, the frontier models we are accessing are essentially hallucinating basic physical reality.
We're trusting them as authorities.
While their gatekeepers treat us as hostile actors, it underscores the danger of relying on generalized benchmarks.
Which perfectly sets up the Lawbreaker benchmark release that just dropped on GitHub.
Yes, the Lawbreaker release is highly revealing.
Because for years, we have been testing AI models based on, you know, standardized logical reasoning puzzles.
Or generalized coding tests.
Right. But Lawbreaker throws all of that out and tests models purely on the immutable laws of physics.
And the results are not great for the frontier models.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
It turns out models like Gemini are consistently failing to apply basic principles like Bernoulli's equation.
Even though they score exceptionally well on other benchmarks.
Exactly. Despite high scores elsewhere, they fail basic fluid dynamics. It proves that vibes-based AI evaluation is officially dead.
It really is, because large language models operate on statistical probability. They are next token predictors.
So they don't actually know physics.
Right. A model can generate a syntactically perfect Python script to simulate fluid dynamics because it has seen millions of lines of Python code in its training data.
It's just mimicking what it's seen.
Purely statistical mimicry. It possesses no intrinsic physical model of the world.
So we have this completely inverted paradigm.
We do.
We're subjecting actual humans to deep state memory inspections to prove they aren't bots, so they can access an AI that doesn't understand gravity.
It's deeply flawed.
So, if the cloud requires you to compromise your application telemetry like that, the natural engineering response is obvious.
Really pull the computation down to your local hardware.
Exactly. But running local AI exposes a massive rift in how we build software today.
The battle between native optimization and cross-platform compromise.
Right. And we are seeing this play out right now with those explosive benchmarking stats that surfaced on Reddit.
For the Apple M5 Max.
Yeah, the M5 Max with 128 gigabytes of RAM. The numbers are staggering.
They really challenge the current cross-platform paradigm.
They do. So running the Qwen 3 Coder Next model, Apple's native MLX framework outperformed the cross-platform tool Llama by 107%.
107% increase is massive at that level of compute.
It is. Specifically, MLX hits 72 tokens per second compared to Llama's 35 tokens per second.
And the model loading time is entirely different.
Yeah, 27 times faster model loading time on MLX. Metal-accelerated frameworks are the undeniable winner for Apple Silicon.
And we have to look at the silicon architecture to understand why.
Right, because Llama provides a universal wrapper.
Exactly. You write it once, and you can run it on Windows, Linux, or Mac OS. But universality requires abstraction layers.
It has to translate its commands.
Right, into something any hardware can somewhat understand. MLX is built natively for Apple's Metal architecture and its unified memory structure.
Wait, doesn't fully embracing native tools like MLX essentially trap you in the Apple ecosystem?
That is the trade-off.
Because aren't we sacrificing the universal run-anywhere dream of tools like Llama just for raw speed?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we see that in the era of LLMs, abstraction layers are the enemy of performance.
So the run-anywhere dream is actually holding us back.
Yes. The computational demands are so punishing that you have to strip away those legacy abstractions.
And we're seeing this beyond just Apple hardware, right?
Absolutely. Look at the release of NeoVim 0.12.0.
The text editor.
Yes. They are doubling down on modern asynchronous primitives and a Lua-first configuration.
They're shedding the legacy Vim script bloat.
Distancing themselves entirely to optimize for performance. And we see that same mandate in the finalized C++26 draft from London.
Oh, right, the C++ standard update.
It introduces new concurrency primitives and compile time reflection.
And compile time reflection is a game changer for squeezing out performance, right?
Precisely. It allows the compiler to inspect and optimize the code structure before it ever hits the processor.
So across the board, the industry is realizing that at the frontier of compute, you have to code directly to the metal.
You cannot afford abstraction.
Okay, so we've just explored this obsession with speed, concurrency, and tokens per second.
The brute force approach.
Right. But there's an entirely different philosophy of software engineering where speed is secondary.
Secondary to absolute reliability.
Exactly. Building systems that simply never die. And this brings us to QuickBeam.
The new runtime that allows running JavaScript inside Erlang OTP.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because JavaScript is chaotic.
It's notoriously fragile.
Yeah, it breaks fast. And QuickBeam is essentially taking these chaotic JavaScript applications and handing them over to the strict adult supervision of Erlang's battle-tested 1980s telecom architecture.
Which is a brilliant architectural decision.
Because JS can now run as supervised, restartable processes with direct native interop.
Allowing server-side rendering with zero Node.js boundary.
It isolates the crashes instead of letting the whole system go down.
Right. It acknowledges that modern web frameworks are fragile, so it borrows stability from a system designed to keep global phone lines running.
And we're talking about ultimate masterclasses in redundant systems design. We have to mention Voyager 1.
The ultimate contrast to modern development.
Yeah. Launched in 1977, currently 15 billion miles away.
And still actively operating.
On just 69 kilobytes of memory and an 8-track tape recorder.
This raises an important question. How do we define good engineering today?
That is the big question.
Is it the sheer brute force of an M5 Max chewing through 72 tokens a second?
Or is it the unfathomable efficiency of Voyager 1 executing a 50-year mission on the memory equivalent of a single low-resolution JPEG? It really highlights a lost art in modern development. We use massive computational power to mask inefficient architecture.
Exactly. We throw RAM at memory leaks.
So bringing all these concepts, AI capabilities, low-level optimization, reliable architectures down to earth.
We need to look at the open source arsenal.
The specific tools developers are weaponizing today, starting with Vibe Voice.
Microsoft's open-sourced Frontier Voice AI.
Right. High-fidelity synthesis, expressive control. But the huge thing is the zero-shot cloning.
Which means it requires zero fine-tuning on a specific voice.
It can clone a human voice perfectly from a tiny audio sample without heavy compute training.
Completely changing the accessibility of voice synthesis.
And then on the development side, you have Claude Haut 2.
the visual guide for Claude code users.
Yeah, it's becoming essential for building out an agentic dev stack,
where AI actively manages your repository and submits pull requests.
Right. And while you're managing those high-level autonomous agents, you also have Iaflow.
Operating at the completely opposite end of the stack.
Yeah, a high-performance network traffic analyzer written in Rust.
Utilizing eBPF for real-time visibility into kernel-level packet flows.
So what does this all mean for you?
It means the stack is incredibly wide.
It is wild. You are simultaneously orchestrating high-level autonomous agents with Claude cloning human voices zero shot.
All while needing Rust-based eBPF tools to monitor the raw plumbing of your network. The gap between the high-level AI agents and the low-level kernel network packets is widening.
It's stretching the developer.
And the most successful developers won't just be the ones who can prompt an AI. They will be the ones who understand the entire vertical slice of the stack.
They have to know how the whole machine works.
Exactly.
Which leaves us with a final thought to ponder as we wrap up this deep dive.
A look toward the future.
Yeah. We talked about how AI is getting better at perfectly mimicking humans, like with Vibe Voice.
The lines are blurring completely.
Right. And at the same time, security systems like Cloudflare are getting aggressively invasive to prove that we are human.
Demanding access to our local application state.
So will the ultimate luxury in the future of tech be systems that are completely local, definitively non-human, and entirely disconnected from the cloud?
That is the paradox we are heading toward.
We might end up needing systems that look a lot more like Voyager 1.
Reliable, efficient, and completely independent.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Atomic News.
It's been a fascinating look at the stack.
Keep questioning the architecture of the tools you use every day. We will catch you next time.